by the way of humility and veneration in front of the parents, it is the time for a person to be able to enter paradise with them. Let us have a break and we'll be back.
وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ لِتُشْرِكَ بِي مَا مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون.
So, dear listeners, regarding this eighth verse of Surah Ankabut, I presume it would be appropriate if we looked at some of the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt, like the Holy Prophet, like Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and also other infallibles about this important concept in Islam. For example, Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Whoever obeys the command of Allah concerning parents, two doors of paradise will be opened to him. And if he fulfills the command of Allah unto one of them, then one door will be opened." Elsewhere, Prophet of Allah has said, "The servant who is obedient to his parents and to his Lord on the day of hereafter, he will be in the highest rank in paradise." And it is interesting that different form and formations of this enjoyment in Islam is provided in the traditions. And actually, our traditions are replete with these kinds of enjoyments. For example, elsewhere, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said once, "He who performs pilgrimage rite for his parents or pays their debt on resurrection day, Allah will arouse him with the righteous ones. And he who likes to have a long lifetime and his sustenance increases, he should do good to his parents and visit his kin." So, the Messenger of Allah has got a lot of traditions in this regard, and that they are actually reflected in our traditions. Elsewhere, the Prophet of Allah has said, "Whoever visits the graves of his parents, or one of them, once every Friday, Allah forgives him and writes him among the righteous." So this is the kind of recommendation regarding the parents, even when they are not alive. Even if you are thinking about yourself, the Almighty Allah says, even if you are thinking about your own forgiveness, if you visit the graves of your parents once every Friday, I will forgive you. I will write you among the righteous. So even if someone is only thinking about personal matters, it is good for him to actually care about his parents, his or her parents, both in this world and the other if they have passed away. Let us refer to one tradition from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and we will conclude. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, "The best deeds are prayer at its proper time, doing kindness to parents, and struggle on the way of Allah." And you see, kindness and doing this kind of kindness to the parents is on par with the prayer at its proper time and struggling on the way of Allah. And it shows how important this concept is. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Across the seven skies, see a pure heart never lies. The words you learn will never hurt. It's time to think and wonder why. Stars above will always be a shining guide for us to see. And when I doubt, I'll have no doubt, but still I wonder why. Digging through our pages past, wondering how the truth will last. God's in control is what I found. I think I'll try this time around. And no one really feels the path I seek. And no one's gonna care as much as unfold. Their glory is unique, we're told. The stories mark a precious past, but do we question why? A quest for truth can never be a lot I faked inside of me. I walk in shoes I've never felt, only then I'll sure know why. They tell me just make up your mind, the path I see just needs a sign. The end is where I wanna be, which way I go is up to me. And no one really feels the path I seek, and no one's gonna care as much as me. I know you cared as much as me. Our stories were shared for us to see. And perhaps it's best to part and be. And maybe we'll find the path we seek tonight. Let it be. Only God really knows what's right. Maybe.
Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to Iran Radio from the vibrant capital of Tehran. And we are here to share more programs that inspire and connect. Let's dive into the next batch of our programs this hour. Our next program is For Humanity, Bridging Faith and the Human Experience. This program covers a variety of subjects concerning human beings in the Noble Quran, including individual and social issues. Subjects like the family and how to interact with other faithful Muslims are explored from the profound perspective of the Holy Quran. Then we have Ulama's speech sharing the profound wisdom of top scholars. This program broadcasts excerpts from the Farsi and Arabic voices of well-known and reputable Islamic and Shia scholars and authorities, complete with English translation. It's a unique opportunity to learn from the masters. Next, enjoy another segment of our diverse radio programs. Following that, A to Z of Life is here to inspire your Islamic lifestyle, hosted by Sister Zainab James. This program presents an Islamic Iranian lifestyle in a variety of engaging ways. Utilizing ayahs from the Holy Quran and Hadith, as well as inspirational poetry, parables, and stories. After this, we'll hear For Humanity.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For Humanity.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the All Compassionate, the All Merciful, and may great peace and blessing be upon Prophet Muhammad and his household. Assalamu alaikum, my dear audience, brothers and sisters, and welcome back to the series of talks for humanity. I'm Hamza Azizi. Previously, we've been talking about the very, very significant aspect of, let's say, divine family. We succeeded, alhamdulillah, to find a signal and a, let's say, sign of a different type of family introduced in the Holy Book. Previously, we learned to think that a family, an Islamic family, an ideal Islamic family is not different from other families, only that the members of the family are Muslims. But now we learn that it's totally different. You see, in an ideal Quranic family, not only the members of are Muslim, not only the members believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no, you are actually are trying to practice how to protect both your own and how to practice both yourself and your families and your members of your families from the hellfire. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نار. You have to learn this, and this is very important. And if we learn this, many questions would be answered. I'm not sure if you have heard that the first day after the marriage of Lady Fatima with Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib, when they married, the first day after their marriage, Prophet Muhammad faced Ali ibn Abi Talib and asked him about how he looked and how he thought about their marriage. And specifically how he thought about Lady Fatima. كيف وجدت فاطمة? What do you think about her? Only one day after their marriage. You see, many possible answers occur to our mind. If we were in his shoes, we might have answered that, okay, it's very good. A very good wife. I love her. I feel very calm whenever I'm with her, and such answers. But just look at the observation of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. He replied that نِعْمَ الْعَوْنُ عَلَىٰ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ The best assistant for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just look at their observation toward marriage. As I said previously, that based on Quranic verses, marriage and family is a kind of communicative worship, is a kind of practicing how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not lonely, but with another person. And this was not something confined to Imam Ali. The same observation was repeated and had been repeated by Lady Fatima. Let's follow that after a short break. Welcome back, my dear audience. This is series of talks for humanity, and I'm Hamza Azizi. We have said that the ideal interpretation of the Islamic family is a means and a tool of communicative worship. When we come to this level that we cannot worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lonely and individually anymore, rather we need someone else next to us to worship together. And by worshiping, we do not mean just praying, as you know, just praying and fasting. No, that is only a very, very simple example of worship. By worship, we mean servitude. We mean how to, the submission toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the core and spirit of worshiping. Even the time that we pray, the time that we fast, the time that we practice pilgrimage of Hajj, the time we help charities and on, the spirit, the main spirit of that is to show our servitude and show our submission. Inna al-deen indallah al-islam. Submission. So when we say that family, the foundation of a family is based on communicative worship, we mean the communicative servitude. Up to now, we tried our best to individually be the true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I need an assistant to help me with my servitude. That is the base of Islamic family. That's why we are responsible about our family members, about their faith. That's why we are not allowed to be careless about their ideological, about their religious destiny and religious status. We are not allowed. I cannot say, okay, it's me along with my faith. I follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's instructions. I do not care what happens with my wife, with my husband, with my children. No. That is completely against the true image that we deduced. No, the true image is that I'm responsible for myself. I'm responsible about my family members as well. Not only I'm responsible to bring food for them, I'm responsible to care about their health, about their wealth, about their education and other examples. No, I'm mostly responsible about their faith. That is the most significant part of that. And by I do not mean just the husbands, no, both couples. Even children are responsible about the faith of their parents. Everyone in a family is responsible about anyone else's faith within their families. So now we can answer many questions through this point. Let's follow the questions in the next episode. Thank you. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. We welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned.
خلق و الامر تبارک الله رب العالمین خلق مال اونه یعنی اصل آفرینش
God both creates له الخلق and commands managers والامر and nurtures له الخلق والامر تبارک الله رب العالمین both the creation and the command and the lord of the worlds all praise is for God alhamdulillah as we seminary students say this Alif Lam, which is definitive article there, denotes comprehensiveness, or istishraq, meaning Alham means all praise. Alhamdulillah, all praise is for God. Why? Because He is Rabbul Alameen. God has a right over us. Why? Because He is Rabbul Alameen.
سرچشمه حق تربیت سرچشمه از مالکیته چون مالکی حق داره
The source of right is guardianship it stems from ownership because an owner has a right because an educator has a right God has a right over us He is our creator our educator and our sustainer God has no compulsion in nurturing and developing existence because Hamd is for non-compulsory actions. Alhamdulillah, if someone does a good deed by force, it is not praiseworthy. For example, gold could not help but be gold. A pearl cannot be a pearl. Silver cannot be silver. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. To find out more about this program and our other programs, please log on to our website, iranradio.ir. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
say that love strikes only once. That precious moment I offer you. Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of hope? Where is the shining moon? Where is the firmest rope? You are my guiding light that walks me through the night. Your presence gives me strength, gives vision to my sight. Someday faith will increase, someday our wars will cease. Someday there'll be justice, someday there will be. Everything I possess, I offer you. I wanna be someone whom you can trust. Come save us from a world that's so unjust. Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of hope? Where is the shining moon?
August, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told an interviewer he feels very much attached to the idea of Greater Israel, a historic and spiritual mission, he called it. But what exactly is Greater Israel, and why does it matter? This week, we take a closer look at a vision that is fueling the destruction of Gaza, threatening to redraw borders, and deepening what critics call a modern-day Nakba. I'm Ali Reza Ehtiyarzadeh, and this is In a Nutshell. The term Greater Israel has been around for decades, first used after Israel seized East al-Quds, the West Bank, Gaza, Sinai, and the Golan Heights in 1967. It describes not just the Israel regime itself, but the lands it occupied and, in the eyes of many so-called ultranationalists, lands beyond, parts of Jordan, Syria, Egypt, and even Lebanon. Early Zionists, such as Zev Jabotinsky, ideological forefather of Netanyahu's Likud party, envisioned a Jewish state stretching far beyond the 1948 borders. For Likud, that dream never died. In his interview with Israeli broadcaster I-24 News, Netanyahu was presented with a pendant depicting Greater Israel. When asked if he felt connected to it, he replied, "Very much." These are not just words. They reflect a political tradition that opposes a Palestinian state outright and sees the expansion of illegal settlements as a way to secure facts on the ground. Those facts are stark. In the occupied West Bank, settlement construction is at record levels. Israel's finance minister, Bezalel Smotrich, recently announced approval for thousands of new housing units, boasting it buries the idea of a Palestinian state. In Gaza, the ongoing genocide has killed over 61,000 Palestinians. Entire neighborhoods in Gaza City, Zaytun, Jabalia, Sabra, lie in ruins. This is not just war. It is an attempt to clear Palestinians from the land, to realize once and for all the old Likud slogan, maximum land, minimum Arabs. And Netanyahu himself has admitted as much. In another recent interview, he said Israel would allow Palestinians to leave Gaza, not pushing them, he insisted, just letting them go. To where? His regime has reportedly held talks with countries like South Sudan, Ethiopia, and even Indonesia about resettling Gazans, all in exchange for financial compensation. But to Palestinians, allowing them to leave sounds like what it is, ethnic cleansing. Meanwhile, Netanyahu's security cabinet has approved plans to fully occupy Gaza City. Human rights groups say this is not just military strategy, it is preparation for permanent control. The international reaction has been sharp. A coalition of 31 Arab and Muslim countries condemned Netanyahu's statements as a dangerous violation of international law and a direct threat to peace and security. The International Criminal Court has already issued an arrest warrant for him over alleged war crimes, and the International Court of Justice is hearing a genocide case against Israel. At the United Nations, the General Assembly passed a resolution last year calling on Israel to end its illegal occupation within 12 months. Instead, Netanyahu doubles down, reviving calls for Palestinians to leave. To many, this language echoes 1948, when more than 700,000 Palestinians were driven from their homes in what is remembered as the Nakba. And so the past and present converge. The dream of so-called Greater Israel, the destruction of Gaza, and the forced exodus of Palestinians. Netanyahu says he is on a mission of generations. But generations of Palestinians see something else, a project of expansion built on their dispossession. Greater Israel is not just a dream of ultranationalists. It is becoming policy, measured in demolished homes, erased neighborhoods, and lives cut short. Greater Israel. For Netanyahu, it's destiny. For Palestinians, it's catastrophe. And as the world debates borders and treaties, Gaza buries its children in their thousands. The question is, how much longer will the world allow a dream to become genocide? Thank you.
comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, fasting, a ritual duty towards the unknown. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, welcome to A to Z with me, Sister Zainab, here on IB English Radio. So obviously I've chosen a slightly long title, and it's a very sort of heavy title in a sense. Obviously I'm talking about the month of Ramadan. In particular, I'm focusing on fasting, and I just want to talk a little bit about some of the deeper effects. So not necessarily fasting itself, as in what that does to the body. It's not about that. It's more about the actual act, looking at it as an act, which is a rite that we performed for Allah, and what sort of effect that has on us. So as a background to this, I would say that there's obviously we know that through all our religious practices, something such as an inner sense, an inner feeling of responsibility grows. And this is something that, you know, to some extent, you might say, also distinguishes us to some very much from, I would say, from people who have no faith, for example, and maybe even from people of certain some other religions. Because obviously this inner sense of duty, of responsibility, is something that is, you know, it's really, it's almost obligated for us that we develop something like this, so that we, you know, we don't need to be told the whole time, oh, this is haram, this is haram, that's halal, we can do this, don't do that, avoid this, purify yourself by doing such and such. You know, we internalize that. And, you know, when I say we internalize it, it's not as if some of these things are strange to us, because all of us, every single human being, even non-Muslim, we're all born in the fitrah. So this sort of, in a sense, is just confirming, affirming that original humanity, which we're all born with, that fitrah, which is given to us by Allah and to every single human being. Welcome back. This is A to Z and IB English Radio, and I'm talking about to what extent the rituals that we perform, especially during the month of Ramadan, such as fasting, are in a sense a duty towards the unknown. Now, obviously, when I'm talking about this duty we have, there's also a way we can distinguish between sort of rituals we have, such as praying. For example, if we're praying congregation, you know, that obviously is a public duty, and obviously obviously for men it is of even more importance to pray in congregation. Women also derive great rewards from praying in congregation, although in a sense the duty is a slightly lower. But, so there's one thing, but obviously you can imagine to yourself, when we're doing something, a ritual that is also public, so not secret or private, you know, it's easy for other motives to creep in, such as, okay, I'm doing this, so I should do it in a particular way, or, you know, there may be some self-interest creeps in. But the beautiful thing about rites that are called secretive, and fasting is one of these in a sense, these are said to be really good for training our inner feeling of responsibility, because, you know, when we're fasting, you know, obviously when we're walking around, going by our daily business, you know, we've had the suhoor in the morning, and then obviously we go to uni, or we're at home looking after kids, or we go to the workplace, and it's not as if we walk around with a sign on saying, "Look, I'm fasting." So it's not really a sort of public thing; it's private, it's inside us. We know that we're fasting, but this is quite special because obviously this does give us a greater likelihood that we can actually develop this inner sense of responsibility, and obviously this goes a little bit towards our sort of in tandem with your purity of intention, because if we can get rid of the self-interest in some of these special rites, then they're even more valuable. So inshallah, this is just another way of looking at fasting in particular, any other rites of worship, especially private ones. And so inshallah, you gain some insights, and inshallah, you also tune in to another episode of A to Z here on IB English Radio, and farewell for today. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of A to Z. And for more information, please also visit our website at www.iranradio.ir.
I'm a traveler, just as they were, walking the world, thinking of the past, on an earth so vast, waiting to return. Just to know you, whoever you are, laugh with you, learn from you, open to you my heart. But soon will I say goodbye and move on. I'm a traveler, just as they were, walking the world, thinking of the past, on an earth so vast, waiting to return. While I'm here, I will always try to be.
While I'm here, I will always try to be
the kind of neighbor who prays for you and me.
The kind of neighbor who prays for you and me.
There for you,
a shoulder to
turn to. I'm a traveler, just as they were,
walking
the world, thinking of the past, on an earth so vast, waiting to return, waiting to return. To know you, I've learned so much.
Been a pleasure to know you, I've learned so much.
Pray for you, hope to meet you, my heart you have touched.
Pray for you, hope to meet you, my heart you have touched.
Remember me, so I might be with you. I'm a traveler, just as they were,
walking
the world.
past on an earth so vast, waiting to return, waiting to return, waiting to return, return to my Lord.
Good day to all our dear listeners. You're tuned into Iran Radio, your trusted companion for reflection, dialogue, and discovery. And now we have some interesting facts about the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran is considered one of the most significant sources which gave rise to the development of the Islamic art and architecture, especially the so-called Quranic arts of calligraphy and illumination. The Holy Quran is divided into 30 equal parts. There are 114 chapters or surah and 6,236 verses or ayahs. The longest chapter of the Quran is Al-Baqarah with 286 verses, which is the second surah of the Holy Quran, while the shortest surah is Al-Kawthar with only 3 verses. Now we'll listen to the continuation of Iran Radio. Be with us. For the beginning, enjoy another segment of our diverse radio productions. After that, we'll have Foresight with host Sayyid Shahriyar Naqvi, joined by various famous English speakers and lecturers. This program focuses on the practical application of worshipping Allah and servitude to God in relation to addressing contemporary challenges. Get ready for a truly insightful discussion. Next up, Round the World with Reporters take you on a global adventure. This program transports you with fascinating reports from correspondents worldwide, covering culture, politics, and more. Round the World with Reporters connects you to the world's pulse with the stories that inform and inspire. Following that, we will have another segment of radio productions for this broadcast. Stay tuned for the next segment of our radio production.
Who could believe fish falling from the sky, or frogs for that matter? These events sound more like scenes from a science fiction movie than actual news. Even if we weren't living in an age of fake news, accepting such stories would still be difficult. Yet, some seemingly impossible phenomena are real. Rainfalls of fish and frogs do occasionally occur in certain parts of the world. The cause of this strange phenomenon is rare storms. Storms powerful enough to lift aquatic creatures from the sea into the sky and drop them back down over land.
Oh my goodness, look at all of them. This is a pretty good size one.
Forget the men. They're all in quarantine. This New Year's week, it's raining fish.
There's tons of them in my yard and in my driveway.
For a few minutes during a Wednesday afternoon storm, a flurry of them rained down on Texarkana.
So it didn't just hail over here at Walker's One Stop Auto. We've got fish everywhere.
Of course, unbelievable yet real events aren't limited to fish falling from the sky. Something similar happened with the movie Home Alone. Viewers of that film could hardly believe that one of its minor actors would become president of the United States 24 years later. Donald Trump, then the owner of the Plaza Hotel, had agreed to let the crew film there. but only on the condition that he himself appeared in the movie. His rise to power felt like one of those seemingly insignificant moments that later proved pivotal. People stared at Trump's image in disbelief, haunted by a pressing question. How did he manage to become president? Until 2018, there was no clear answer. Some pointed to social shifts in American society, others to the complexities of political strategy, but then the release of a single news story changed everything.
Breaking news from the New York Times tonight. It is reporting that both the Justice Department and the FBI are investigating the now defunct political data firm Cambridge Analytica. Now, you remember the company worked both for the President Trump's election campaign as well as other Republican candidates in 2016.
It was about a major scandal, an electoral scandal that drew many into the unfolding drama.
You know, some people will say to me, but Professor Zuboff, I like those targeted ads. They're so useful. Or I enjoy personalized services. Sometimes people will say, you know, I have nothing to hide, so I don't care what they take. Each one of these statements is a profound misconception of what's really going on.
In 2018, the company Cambridge Analytica found itself at the center of a major scandal. The controversy dated back 2 years before the election, to a time when Facebook had managed to collect data from thousands of users. These data sets were part of users' private information, yet they were secretly handed over to Cambridge Analytica. The data even included details about users' friends, and the company ultimately gained access to information from over 50 million individuals.
We think that the only personal information they have about us is what we've given them. And we think we can exert some control over what we give them. And therefore, we think that our calculation, our trade-off here, is something that is somehow under our control, that we understand.
Analyzing user behavior and interpreting the data could reveal a great deal. Things like personal interests, decision-making patterns, and criteria for choice. This data analysis was put to use by the client, namely Trump's election campaign. They developed a model aimed at influencing undecided voters in key swing states. The next step was targeted advertising in favor of Trump. Analysts, in explaining this strange phenomenon, referred to the science of marketing, a discipline that effectively turned Trump into a product and enabled close monitoring of American voters' choices. They argued that Trump's rise marked the beginning of a new era, the age of surveillance marketing, with hidden and complex dimensions. An era that raises a profound question: are human decisions truly made independently, or are other forces quietly shaping them?
Back in the year 2000, 2001, 2002, back in those days, these data were considered just extra data. They were considered waste material. And people called them things like digital exhaust or data exhaust. Eventually, it was understood that these so-called waste materials harbored these rich predictive data.
In September 2011, the area in front of the Wall Street Stock Exchange was packed with people. Citizens took to the street in protest against economic inequality, capitalist culture, and the influence of large corporations. The protest was a consequence of the 2008 economic crisis and also a sign of something else, a strange event that had quietly taken place. A new approach in economics emerged, rooted in books from the field of economic theory.
They can predict things like our personality, our emotions, our sexual orientation, our political orientation, a whole range of things that we never, ever intended to disclose.
This approach was related to behavioral economics, which urges that human behavior is not fundamentally based on reason and logic. Some economists who supported this view believe that decision-making was driven by other factors. They spoke of involuntary errors and irrational choices, emphasizing that a large portion of people's decisions are emotionally driven. These irrational behaviors could have negative consequences for society. To prevent such outcomes, an unconventional solution was proposed: paying attention to irrational choices, subtly shaping them, and guiding people toward better decisions. Within this framework, one could understand the rationale behind the companies involved in election engineering.
The companies like to say, we collect data so that we can improve our service. And that's true. They collect data, and some of it is used to improve the service to you. But even more of it is analyzed to train what they call models, patterns of human behavior.
Behavioral economics was an approach that extended its influence into other domains. If it could be used to change a president, then other tasks, like marketing and selling a product, were also possible. Marketers showed interest in this approach. They monitored people's behavior, analyzed it, and based on